Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And a warm welcome to our service here this evening. And thank you for being in the house of God. For those that weren't here on this morning, I have been away in Israel for some 12 days and had the privilege of visiting some of the places that the Bible makes reference to, and as we study the scriptures, we will find people, places, and events are clearly confirmed in scripture. And if you were to have the privilege of going to Israel, you will find that it all fits. There are people, there are places, there are events that are provable within the land of Israel that harmonize beautifully with the Word of God. So I'd like to encourage you, if you've never been to Israel, to consider 2022, just under 1,100 days. Prayerfully consider $4 a day. Will pay $4 a day. You save $4 a day and you will have enough for the land fare. And if you stretch and you save $5 a day, it should cover two-thirds of your airfare. Okay, so think about that. If you want to round it off, $5 a day, you'll cover your land fare and about two-thirds of your airfare. That's all it's going to take to go to Israel in 1,100 days. So something for you to think about. We don't need to see in order to believe. As Bible-believing Christians, we live by faith. We are saved by faith. We live by faith. Our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is based upon truth, the truth of the precious Word of God. But yet we have confirmation of that truth. And I mentioned this morning we have the confirmation of a changed life. How can anybody refute the fact there are people all over the world, men, women and children, that testify to the fact that Jesus Christ has changed their life? And also we have the confirmation of Bible prophecy, where predictions have been made in the scriptures that have been fulfilled, many in the person of Jesus Christ, and with the existence of the nation of Israel, she and her existence is a miracle. And also we talked about provable science, matches the Word of God, the reality that there was a universal flood. The evidence of that is all over the world. Even in Israel, there in the wilderness, there is a crater there. Amazing, absolutely amazing. The evidence of a universal flood is even there within the land of Israel. And as we have been focusing upon this day, archaeology today is spearheading at a rapid pace. And God is using the bulldozer, for example, time and time again to dig up and to discover places and the confirmation of events that took place in Bible history. So we live in exciting days. At the end of the day, we live by faith, and yet we find encouragement that the Word of God is confirmed. There is evidence to confirm the precious Word of God. So I'd like to look at a few places and events that took place within these places in relation to our Lord and His death, burial and resurrection. The Mount of Olives is a wonderful spot to visit. There in 2 Samuel chapter 15, please. 2 Samuel chapter 15 makes reference to the Mount of Olives. So we find here in verses 30 and 31 that King David, before he was actually king, visited the Mount of Olives. So 3,000 years ago, there was a place known as the Mount of Olives. Unfortunately, David's visit to the Mount of Olives was not encouraging. Let's read verse 30 and 31. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that were with him covered every man his head, and they went up, weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. So here within this passage of scripture, we have a reference to Mount Olivet, or the Mount of Olives. David sought refuge in this mount. The Mount of Olives is on the east side of the city of Jerusalem. It's a 2-mile ridge, and as I said, it's known as the Mount of Olives. Why is it known as the Mount of Olives? Because of the many olive trees that once upon a time were on that mount, but not now. Houses, and it's all residential up the top there, but it was known as the Mount of Olives. And this is the point from which our Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem, presenting himself as the precious Messiah. Now, as you look down from the mount, and you look towards, you see the wall there in front of you. This is the eastern wall. There it is, right there. Now, this is not the original wall in Bible times. The wall that surrounds Jerusalem today is only about 500 years old, built by the Turkish Empire. And so this is known as the East Gate, or pardon me, go back. Thank you. And there's a gate there that's been sealed up. Turkish Empire sealed them up because just in case the Messiah comes, they didn't want him coming through the gates there. So they sealed the gate, so you'll find a double gate there, sealed. And note these graves here. These are Jewish people, the who's who, are buried here, close to the city. And then these are Catholic graves. And there at the foot of the wall are Muslim graves, with the hope that having all of these Muslims buried right there in front of the wall and sealing those gates, the Messiah won't be able to get into Jerusalem and present himself as the Jewish Messiah, which is absolute nonsense. And so here on the Mount of Olives, we find that our Lord Jesus, he rode down. If you go to Zechariah chapter 9, please. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah is one of the easiest minor prophets to find because it's just before Malachi. Malachi is the last of the minor prophets. So turn to Zechariah chapter 9. And it's from the Mount of Olives that our Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem, presenting himself as the Messiah. And the prophet Zechariah made reference to this. Note here in chapter 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." And if you go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, we have the fulfillment of this prophecy, Matthew chapter 21. And the Bible's very clear here that our Lord descends from the Mount of Olives. Note there, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethany unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, he shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Then he quotes Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. So the prophecy made by Zechariah there in chapter 9 was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ in what we referred to as his triumphal entry, and that began there from the Mount of Olives. But we know that the nation of Israel rejected him as their Saviour, and the Lord Jesus went on to be crucified. But also upon this mount, our Lord Jesus will return. He will return the second time with the saints. And the Bible teaches us that his feet shall touch the mount. And note then, Zechariah, back in Zechariah, please, if you turn back there, go to chapter 14 this time. Chapter 14, verse number 4. A reference to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah chapter 14, verse number 4. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. See, all of this fits, doesn't it? Fits beautifully. The east, before Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove from the north, and half of it toward the south. So the Mount of Olives will split in two, north and south. What a day that'll be when the Lord Jesus comes back with the saints. And I trust and pray that you are a saint to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 18, we will follow the Lord on white horses, and we will come back with Christ to the earth, and he will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, that mount that David of old fled from Absalom that was out to kill him. That mount from which he rode down and presented himself as the Messiah, the Savior of Israel and the world, though he was rejected. And it's upon that same mount, that Mount of Olives, that exists today, and you can visit it today, the Lord Jesus will come back, and we will return with him. And as his feet touch the mount, the Bible teaches that it will come apart from north to south. What a wonderful day that will be. So it's from this mount that our Lord Jesus often traveled backwards and forth going into Jerusalem and ministering in the temple. Note there in John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. Back in the New Testament, our Lord grew up in Nazareth. And then the Bible clearly teaches there was a period of time that he lived in Capernaum. And then the scriptures imply that he spent time there upon the mount. Bethany is not very far away. And he could have spent time living with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But note there in chapter 8 of John, verses 1 and 2, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So it seems from Scripture that our Lord Jesus often visited the Mount of Olives and spent time there and abode there. It's a sacred place, and I trust that one day you'll have the privilege of visiting the Mount of Olives, from which our Lord Jesus rode down and presented himself as the Messiah. And one day, at his second return, he will come, his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, and it will split in two. As we continue within the gospel record, I'd like for us to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Israel rejected the Lord Jesus as Messiah, Savior, so therefore the Lord Jesus had to die to provide redemption for all mankind. And here in Matthew chapter 26, we find that our Lord Jesus from the Mount of Olives made his way down to a place known as the Garden of Gethsemane. So in making his way down the mount towards the city of Jerusalem, there is a garden known as the Garden of Gethsemane. Now note there in chapter 26, look at verse number 36, please. 36 to 39. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If you look back into chapter 26, we'll note then verse number 17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? So following this Passover meal, that look at verse number 26, that he, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Then note then verse number 30, And when they had sung an hymn, wherever that upper room was, that they had that Passover meal, and then the Lord Jesus brought into existence what we refer to as the Lord's table, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. The Lord Jesus loved the Mount of Olives. Went back up into the Mount of Olives, and from the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus came down and prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means oil press. It was a place where olives were crushed and processed into oil. So there's the Mount of Olives where there was a time was full of olive trees, and then you come down to the Garden of Gethsemane where they were processed, and it's here that our Lord Jesus devotes time to prayer. And he cries out to God the Father, If it be thy, not my will, but thy will be done. And it's within the Garden of Gethsemane that our Lord Jesus is arrested and betrayed. So it's within this garden that he is preparing for his pending death. And it's within this garden that he is arrested. Note there in verse number 47, please. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse number 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. And then we go to verse 56 and 57. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. So we find from the Mount of Olives, the Lord Jesus moves down in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays and he submits to the will of God the Father. He is betrayed with a kiss by Judas Iscariot. And this is a wonderful place to visit, the Garden of Gethsemane. There are still very ancient olive trees there. I doubt any of them go back to the time of our Lord Jesus. But there were certainly, the trees that are there would certainly be ancestors. Their ancestors would go back to the time of Christ. It's a wonderful place to visit. It's within this Garden of Gethsemane that our Lord Jesus was arrested and taken to Caiaphas' house. And note then, verse number 57, makes reference to that. They led him away to Caiaphas the high priest. So upon our Lord's arrest at the hand of Judas, he was taken to the high priest's palace in order to be tried and sentenced to death. And the Bible teaches us that a religious assembly awaited him. Note there at the end of verse 57, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. See, the religious leaders of that day were determined. They were absolutely determined to crucify and kill the Lord Jesus. Go to the book of Mark, please. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Note here, Mark chapter 14, verses 53 to 56. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. And many bare false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. So we find the Lord Jesus is taken to this palace. The Caiaphas was the high priest at that day, and no doubt the palace was in walking distance from the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, was this Caiaphas' house? We do not know. We do not know exactly where Caiaphas' house, but this particular house where you'll find these stairs, where are they? There, going up to the palace. If this was Caiaphas' house, the Lord Jesus would have walked up those very steps. It fits the size and the holding prison there, the dungeon downstairs. It fits, but we do not know for a fact that this was actually Caiaphas' house. But if it was, those very steps, the Lord Jesus himself would have been led up those steps to into the palace in order to be tried by this religious group known as the Sanhedrin. So the Lord Jesus was the religious leaders were determined to kill him, but they only had they didn't have the authority to sentence to death. So the Lord Jesus had to be brought before Pilate. Now, let's take our Bibles and go to chapter 15. Let's go back. I'm ahead of myself. Go to verse number 60 of chapter 14 of Mark. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answer thou nothing. What is it that these witness against thee?" Then go down to verse number 65. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palm of their hands. And then the Lord Jesus is brought before Pilate. And note there in chapter 15, verse number 1, and straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away, delivered him unto Pilate. And there in chapter 15, note then verses 12 to 15, please. Pilate gives the Lord Jesus a fair trial, and he said to the crowd, he said to the religious leaders, look, I find no fault in him. Note then verses 12 to 15 of Mark 15. It reads, and Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. So Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So because the Sanhedrin could not authorize our Lord's death, he was brought before Pilate, and Pilate eventually broke under pressure and condemned our Lord Jesus to death. And this leads us to his crucifixion. And the million-dollar question is, where was our Lord Jesus actually crucified and buried? Now, the wall that surrounds the city, as I've already mentioned, has only been in existence for some 500 years. It is not the original wall. So we do not know exactly where that original wall was. Parts of the wall, yes, but not entirely. So we need to bear this in mind in trying to determine where was our Lord Jesus actually crucified. Obviously, he was crucified there in Jerusalem, and he was buried there. There's no doubt about that very fact. Now, there are a couple of things that we need to bear in mind. We know the following facts. The crucifixion within the biblical setting, and according to the Romans, the crucifixion was always carried out on a main road. It was always carried out on a main road on the outside. So wherever our Lord Jesus was crucified, it would have been on the outside of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Why? So that all could see, and that it would be a warning of possible judgment if a person breaks Roman law. And that's why we find there in Mark chapter 15, look at Mark chapter 15, verses 28 to 32. Mark chapter 15, verses 28 to 32, the Bible reads, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and they that passed by railed on him. Note that little phrase there. They that passed by. Main road. Wherever he was crucified had to be a main road where people passed by. And in passing by, they railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. So we know for a fact the crucifixion was always outside city walls, in all that people could see. and it'd be a sober warning that if you break Roman law, this will be the sentence. So the hymn that we sing on a hill far away is not scriptural. The Lord Jesus was not crucified on a hill. Doesn't fit. But possibly at the foot of a hill on a main road, yes, the Lord Jesus would have been crucified outside the city walls. So where was our Lord Jesus exactly crucified and buried? We don't know exactly where, but we know for a fact that he was. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried and he rose again. We don't really need to get too hung up on exactly where he was actually crucified or where he was actually buried, because what will happen is we'd be worshipping those places. And that is exactly what is happening today. There is a church there within the city walls, the current city walls, known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Now, it was commissioned to be built by Emperor Constantine's mother by the name of Helena. And within the Catholic faith, the Orthodox faith, they are convinced that within the boundaries of that church, the Lord Jesus was crucified and he was buried and rose again. So some believe that within the grounds of this church, known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, that the Lord Jesus was crucified and he was buried. Now, they say there's strong archaeological proof that this is the case. You would not want to believe that it is the case when you witness what takes place within that church. You know, there are countless very sincere people, so-called kissing the point where they believe that the cross of Christ was placed in the ground, and there is another spot within the this facility where there is a it looks like a marble slab. Where they believe that the body of the Lord Jesus was taken down and prepared, and you will see people kissing and praying and weeping over this slab. And there are two caves within this church that they believe that some believe that this is the cave where our Lord Jesus was buried and rose again, and others believe now this is the cave where he was buried and rose again. All of this takes place within the parameters of this Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And when you see all of that, you want to not believe that it could possibly have happened there. It's just an amazing sight to witness what takes place within that religious church. It's very sad to see sincere people literally barking up the wrong tree of religion. We would like to believe that our Lord's death, burial and resurrection took place in this garden tomb area. This is managed by evangelical Christians that preach the gospel. But the point is not where exact it happened, the exact location, we do not know. But beloved, we know for a fact that Jesus Christ did die. And Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ rose again. So this is the alternative, and at the end of our tour, this was the last spot we visited. Now, when you visit the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, you'll be depressed. It'll depress you. But when you get over that and you visit this location, it will encourage you. And there are some bits and pieces that would possibly point to the fact that this is more the location where our Lord Jesus was crucified. For example, there is a rock face in the shape of a skull. You can't really tell now because bits and pieces have broken away. If you go to Matthew chapter 27, please, Go to Matthew chapter 27. It talks about the place of the skull, and that is within reach of this garden tomb. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 33. The Bible reads, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha," that is to say, the place of a skull. And go back to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, please, verse number 22. "And they bring him unto the place Golgotha," which is being interpreted the place of a skull. So there is a cliff face that resembles a skull just outside of this garden tomb. And the garden tomb is literally a garden. And if you go to John chapter 19, please. John chapter 19, verses 41 and 42, the Bible clearly teaches us that the tomb within which our Lord Jesus was buried was within a garden. Note there in John chapter 19, verses 41 and 42. "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden." So this garden is not far from this skull rock feature. It's just right there. "There was a garden," note verse 41, "and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid." Verse 42, "Then laid they Jesus therefore because..." There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So we have a skull, we have a garden, and go to Luke chapter 23, please. Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. "A man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea pleads for the body of Christ." Note there in verses 50 to 56. "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the council and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone." So within this garden, the garden tomb, it is a garden. In fact, there's even a wine press there. And there is a tomb. Fits. "Took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, the Sabbath drew nigh, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after. And behold the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." So Joseph of Arimathea had a tomb, a new tomb. It was in a garden and not far from Golgotha, and the body of our Lord Jesus was placed within this tomb. Was this the tomb? Well, I would like to believe so, but we don't know. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is that Jesus Christ did die. And Jesus Christ was buried. And praise God, Jesus Christ rose again. If you go to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. So Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6, the Bible teaches us, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you have the opportunity to visit Israel, you have these two possible sites. But the issue is that Jesus Christ did die. And Jesus Christ was buried. And praise God, Jesus Christ rose again. And we as Bible-believing Christians serve a risen Saviour. And as I mentioned this morning, history is His story. His provision of salvation for all mankind. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. God is not willing that any should perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, we serve a risen Saviour. And it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Was the Lord crucified and buried within the boundaries of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? I don't want to believe so. But maybe He was. I'd rather believe that it was here at the Garden Tomb. And it was such a blessing to visit the Garden Tomb at the very end of our tour, was it not? For those that went, it was a real blessing. And we could sing, He lives, He lives, we serve a risen Saviour. But the point is, beloved, Jesus Christ did die. Jesus Christ was buried. And Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And one day, He's coming again. From the pages of the Old Testament into the fulfillment of the New Testament, God reveals Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. My friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? There are people, there are places, there are events that are provable according to the truth of the Word of God. And I'd like to encourage you this evening, if you've yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour, I'd like to encourage you to receive Him. Because our Lord, shortly before His betrayal, assembled His disciples and He took bread and He broke bread, and He said, this represents my body, which will be broken for you. And then He took the fruit of the vine, and He said, this represents my blood, which will be shed for you. He that was without sin became sin for us. The Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And we as God's people are called upon to remember His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And this evening we'll have an opportunity to spend some time around our Lord's table that He brought into existence to cause you and I to remember. We are so forgetful, are we not? And we as the people of God need to be mindful of what Christ has done for us. He died, was buried, and praise God, He rose again. That tomb is empty. It's empty because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And we as the people of God have the opportunity to reflect and remember His death on our behalf through this ordinance known as the Lord's Supper. For we take unleavened bread, and as we partake, we reflect upon the fact that His body was broken for us. And we take the fruit of the vine, pure grape juice, and we reflect that His blood was shed for us. So I'd like to encourage you this evening, if you've received Jesus Christ as Saviour, and upon that confession you've been scripturally baptised by immersion, and you are in complete agreement with our doctrines and our practices here as an independent Baptist church, and you believe that your heart is as right as it can possibly be, we invite you to worship with us as we remember His broken body and His shed blood. Let's